Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our message this morning is not from one of the propers, one of the readings we've already had, but from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And let's read this together. I believe it will be on the screen, and also it's in your bulletin insert on the second page, the text for the sermon. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. It's tricky preaching on the book of Proverbs because it comes across to us as a whole lot of law. It sounds like a whole list of things to do. And as we have a tendency and are kind of built into our nature and our character, whenever it seems like there's something we can do to please God or to earn our place before God, we just lap that up and think, okay, this is our to-do list of things to do to please God. And so it's tricky preaching it because we're law and gospel people. The law certainly convicts us of our sin as it's held up as a mirror. It's also a guide for the Christian life. But we're gospel people. We know that we are saved because of the gospel, because of what Christ did on our behalf. That we have no... There's no to-do list that we can do that's going to earn our place before God. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. So what do we do with a book like Proverbs that sounds like a whole lot of things to do? Well, Proverbs, as we will see as we go through the text, presupposes faith. It is based on faith. It is given to people of faith. People who have turned from their sins and turned only to Jesus for salvation from their sins. So Proverbs presupposes faith. And as we'll see, Proverbs is something that is passing down from father and mother to child. So we see this passing down of wisdom. We see it at verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Then listen to what it says at verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. And so far it sounds like it's for the sons, but not for the daughters. This is no word for women. Well, if we were to go down that road and take such a limiting view of this, and we'll see that that's not actually the case, but if we were to go down that road and think that it's limiting in some kind of way, well, guess what? It rules all of us out as well, because this is from a royal father to his heir. This is from the king to his soon-to-be heir, soon-to-be king son. So, I don't know about you, but I don't have any royal blood running through my veins. I'm not an heir to a kingdom, so I guess that excludes all of us as well. But notice what it says in the second part of verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Well, what is implied by that? It's telling us that the son and the daughter, of course, have things to learn from both father and mother, which is to say that the mothers at some point were also instructed in wisdom and knowledge. So this is not any kind of exclusionary idea or text. This involves both mother and father, both sons and daughters. So wisdom, Learning is a family affair. So how do we think about schools? Obviously, all of us are sending our kids, for the most part. There might be some homeschoolers here, but for the most part, we send our kids to school. How are we to think about that? We are entrusting our kids to their teachers. That's how we ought to think of it. We're sort of farming out their education in a way. But ultimately, the buck stops with mom and dad. It is the father, it is the mother that says, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we ought not lose sight of that ultimately, at the end of the day, education is a family affair. But we are entrusting our kids to their teachers. So what's the implications of that? Well, the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And as we entrust our kids to their teachers, we ought to instruct our kids that they are to honor their teachers as they honor mom and dad, as they honor the Lord. You know, a lot of cases come up where the your little Johnny gets a note from the teacher that he misbehaved in school or did something wrong or got a bad grade on a test, and we have this tendency to right away get our backs up and think, well, that teacher's wrong. I'm ready to go to battle with my son or daughter's teacher. Well, the fourth commandment and the eighth commandment tells us to put the best construction on things and assume that this is a professional teacher, that this is someone that we can generally trust, and by all means, go and have a conversation with them. But we ought to remember that we are honoring our teachers with the task and the vocation that they've been called to do. Well, so what should we do? We should love our teachers. We should confront them when they need to be confronted. We should challenge them when there's some things that come home that maybe we don't agree with. Sure. But ultimately, we need to love them and we need to pray for our teachers. And what is wisdom? Because beyond just mere education, beyond just merely X's and O's, beyond just merely addition, subtraction, basic memorizing facts from history, the ultimate goal is wisdom. And what is wisdom? Because that's what we're talking about here with the book of Proverbs. It's the book of wisdom. What is wisdom and what does it do? I want us to think about wisdom. And here, let's think about what it says in verse... Listen as we read verses 2 through 6. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Think of wisdom as this. Let me give you a little definition of wisdom. Wisdom is that ability to navigate the world that God has made. So God has made this world, and in this world he has embedded systems, formulas, right? You think about like the idea of language. God is a talking God. God speaks, we see, in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. So language is something that is embedded in creation. And yes, in the raw aspect of it, language is nouns and verbs. And we want to teach our young people how to relate those nouns and verbs and how to get all the prepositions right and how to amplify them with adjectives and adverbs. And all. I used to be an English major, by the way. Think about it all that way. We want them to learn those things. But the next step is wisdom. The goal even in language is wisdom. And what does that mean? It's to be able to use it well. It's able to speak and write elegantly, eloquently, to be persuasive when we want to persuade somebody for a good cause, to be informative when we want to inform people about a thing. We use language. We move from just merely the nuts and bolts, the mechanics of grammar, which is important as a foundation, but we move beyond that, knowing that God made the world with language and being able to communicate truth, and we want to be able to step in those shoes as well. Another way to think about wisdom is it's knowledge plus time. We've all known people in our lives, and maybe we've been those people sometimes where you think, well, he's got a lot of learning, classroom learning, but he's not very street smart, not very wise. You know, they can answer all the questions on the test, but they're just not wise. They're lacking that wisdom. So wisdom is the goal. And you can think about it in terms of math and science, all the ways that God has created this world, right? And has embedded into this world all of these systems and formulas. And really then, learning is just the process of discovering those things. And then wisdom is the process of being able to use those things well. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, by faith, we know that the world was created by the Word of God. So that's why wisdom, when we think about the book of Proverbs and wisdom, it requires faith to really grasp these things. It requires knowing the God who made all these things, knowing the kind of God that He is, and being able to use those gifts in a way that is pleasing to Him. And notice another two things about wisdom. We see this in our text, that this acquired wisdom that we have, it goes out into the world. This isn't like a selfish thing, like I'm just, you know, getting onto my computer and I can just type a whole bunch of stuff and I'm there just solely by myself and I have my own little world of my own. And no, wisdom is something that goes forth. Notice what it says. It says in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, right? In righteousness, justice, and equity. Your wisdom is for your neighbor. Do you see that? It's not some neutral thing. You know, you could be really good at math. You could be really good at putting numbers together and figure things out, and you could use it to cheat people. That's not wisdom. That's evil. That's foolishness, as the book of Proverbs says. Why is it foolish? Well, you think, well, I'm getting away with it. No one's going to find out. Well, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's foolishness. No, we use the gifts that God has given us, even the wisdom in whatever area. And again, we're not just talking about books and classroom stuff. We're talking about farming. We're talking about welding. I grew up in a family of welders, and I know what wisdom in welding looks like. You know, and think of all the other areas. Auto mechanic. There's wisdom in that, where someone can open up a hood. You know, and I'm not a gearhead at all. I don't know what I'm looking at. But there's someone that has spent a lifetime of figuring out how a motor works. And God created that process for making a motor work. And so they're able to look at it and they're able to see, oh, I hear this sound over here. Let me get this tool. They get just the right tool and they figure it out. And they use it to benefit and to love their neighbor. And then notice in verse 4 it says, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. You know, one of the things in our schools that our school is filled with kids that need a good Christian friend who's wise, who's godly, who knows the Lord, who knows the gospel, who's able to love them, who's able to point them to the one and only Savior, who's able to save them from their sins. Our schools, our society needs wise Christians to be able to cut through some of the foolishness that we see in this world. May God grant us that. And then notice the second thing, that Wisdom is a lifetime pursuit. Look at what it says in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. You think you got it figured out, right? No, keep learning. Be a lifetime learner. And the one who understands, obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. You imagine some of the nonsense that comes across our screens, whether it's the TV or our phones, all these persuasive arguments that try to believe certain things that are not true. And you know, you have parents, you have children, you have grandchildren that are falling for all of these tricks that are being tricked by people who are very good at language, but not in a wise way, but in a foolish way. We need people that are able to cut through that, are able to understand, a riddle. The words of the wise and their riddles. And then lastly, wisdom comes from God by faith. Look at what it says in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ultimately, wisdom that benefits neighbor, that loves neighbor, comes from faith. And let me tie this together. Think about what separates this book of Proverbs from, let's say, Poor Richard's Almanac. You know, a penny saved is a penny earned. That's a pretty wise saying, right? True enough, right? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's a word of wisdom in a sense. But so what is the difference between this book and something like Poor Richard's Almanac? The answer is the gospel. It is knowing the Creator. It is being placed back in that right relationship with the God who made not only the universe, but made you as well. And I'd like to just finish up by, I don't have this printed out, but bear with me. This is a familiar psalm. It's Psalm 130. If you have a Bible, you want to turn to it, that's fine, but you can listen as I read it. Listen to how this ties this Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and ties it to the gospel. The psalmist says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Those words are for a Christian. Because you know what? There are times when all of us play the fool. There are times when we get caught up in something. There's times when we act in foolish ways. There's times when we act in ways that are not according to what God would have us to do. And what do we have available? We cry out to God for mercy, even in those times. Then listen to what it says in verse 3 of Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be feared. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the result of us crying out to God for mercy. It's crying out to God for forgiveness of sins. It's crying out to God for correction in our errors and our wayward ways, acting the fool, and finding that mercy that only God can give because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And the amazing thing is, as this psalmist contemplates, Lord, there's no basis for you to forgive us, but you forgive us for Christ's sake so that you may be feared. Now, what sense does that make? You would think it would be the opposite. You would think that you would read in the psalm that there is no forgiveness with God, therefore you are feared. No, it says that there is forgiveness with God, therefore you are feared. It's because when God forgives us, when God brings us into that relationship with Him, when we truly know the Lord, we are in awe. You know, there's a word that we've kind of watered down so much in our vocabulary. We all use this word. It's the word awesome, right? God alone is awesome. And he inspires fear. And it's not the fear that he's going to zap us when we go wayward and we act the fool. It's the fear that we know him as the one who made this world. And it is the kind of respect. It is the kind of awe. It is the kind of wonder. It is the kind of fear that elicits this contemplation, that comes from this contemplation of God. Forgiveness produces fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Martin Luther once said that God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. So as God grants us these educations that we all have, this access to this knowledge, may it ultimately result in a kind of wisdom that benefits our neighbor. Let us pray. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Amen.